Hello again, and welcome to episode 18 of the Rusty Quill Gaming Podcast. I'm your host and GM, Alex Newell, and with me, as always, I have...
James Ross.
Bryn Monroe.
Ben Meredith.
Lydia Nicholas.
And who are you playing?
I am playing Sir Bertrand McGuffingham, peasant.
Hamid Salah Harun al-Tahan. Nice to meet you.
Zolf Smith, cleric of Poseidon.
I'm Sasha. My surname isn't really important, and these daggers have like nothing to do with what I'm. Sorry, am I behind you? I didn't mean that. If you look over there, there's something a lot more interesting than I am.
Something over there?
Oh, I've just slipped this dagger into your kidney. Sorry.
Oh, that was an accident.
Now, for the listeners, it's only been a week for us. It's been a little bit longer, and in that time, some pretty interesting things happened. Me and James had Edinburgh shows.
We did.
Would you care to take over, James?
Yes. I'd like to say a big thank you to the lovely Sam, the lovely Phil, and the lovely Joe, who all came to see my show and Alex's show.
Yeah, they were all very lovely people.
It was lovely to meet you all. You are superb and charming and very desirable to your gender stroke genders of preference. You seem like lovely people. Thank you so much for coming.
And me and Ben would like to thank the people that came along to our things in Nine Worlds.
Yes.
Because we did meet a couple of fans there. All of you were lovely, especially the person I played the Great Train Robbery with.
Oh, I wanted to play that one.
Super fun.
I have a shout out too. I don't leave the house, so I didn't meet anyone. But Aaron, who you may remember sent us a whole box full of miniatures to represent our combats with, sent me my own special customised Hamid one.
And it's brilliant!
And it's painted to look like Hamid, and it's an actual halfling.
And he's got a ring.
Wait, I'm taking a photo.
He's holding a ring.
I'm taking a photo, and I'm going to put it on the Twitter.
Okay, cool. And obviously, for listeners, we sort of finished our prelim bit of the campaign. The simulacrum was tracked down. It was discovered to be pretty much destroyed and dumped in the sewers. He traced it back to the Serpentines, and one of them, Jeremy, managed to leg it, basically, with the plans, leaving you guys with a scrapbook, which... having spoken to some high-ups with the meritocrats, have been asked to investigate. Now, we're going to have a little bit of time, because obviously people have had money to spend and so on. So what we'll have said is that you guys came out of that police station, you went your separate ways, did some shopping, and agreed to meet fresh and early the next morning, ready to start your adventures once more. And that is where we're picking up. We shall say that you are meeting once more in the square outside the now burnt-out remains of Edison's house. It was a useful place to meet, and that's where you've all rocked up. And Bertie, yes, you still have your dog.
Oh, Russo, hello.
Does anyone like my,
have you had your hair done?
No.
Is that it? Is that what it is?
No.
She's got a new suit of armour, Bertie.
Oh!
Look, it's quite shiny.
It is, isn't it?
It's like a nice leather jacket, all studs and stuff. But, you know, like,
I think it's very good.
Yeah.
I say, Hammond, is that what the young people are wearing these days?
No.
Swoosh, swoosh, swoosh. I'm attacking the air with my new bastard sword.
Yeah,
swoosh.
Will.
His new bastard sword is quite shiny too.
Take that, air! Swoosh, swoosh.
A bunch of people in the crowd sort of walk past, give Bertie a bit of a worried look, and then carry on.
No, it's behind me as well! Swoosh, swoosh, swoosh.
Okay,
swoosh.
Bertie, let's wee.
No.
I like my beard. So let's leave it where it is, okay?
No tables around here, mate.
Anyway, so, what next?
Well, I mean, I've been looking through the notebook. I've read as much of it as I can. And, there's probably six things that we need to look into. So there's this weird seed.
Seed.
There's the piece of strange metal.
Piece of metal.
There's a key to a safe deposit box.
Key to a deposit box.
And there's an origami swan.
Origami swan.
Now, the other thing is there's a person in Paris. So we're going to have to go to Paris at some point. But that's really useful because Paris is where most of the major banks... I mean, other big cities kind of have one or two, but Paris has like loads of big banks. So that might be where the safe deposit key is from.
And point seven, we probably need to look at Cordova. Anywhere is that tracking bin stuck on your hand?
You mean the ring that Barrett gave me?
Oh yeah, it's a little present.
Yeah.
Hammond, have you ever considered whether you needed all of your fingers?
Yes, yes, I definitely need all of my fingers.
Are you absolutely sure?
I don't
sure?
like the
swoosh,
way you're all looking at
swoosh,
me.
Swoosh, swoosh.
Mate, it's not that hard to get by without one, all right? Like, even if your work involves
intricate...
Hang on
a minute. Is that why you...
I don't think we need to get into the detail of my hands.
So that'll be a yes, then.
Like...
I never noticed before.
Well, like,
I didn't either, but that is less of a surprise.
I remove a glove. Yeah, the ring finger on my left hand, there is an obvious and quite ugly scar. Someone has hacked through and sewn it up quite badly. But there's also, you know, there's a little prosthetic-y thing at the end of the glove so that even when the rest of it is floppy, you can see that finger looks solid.
So is that what all the kids are wearing these days?
Yeah, like all the kids that were forced to steal and kept in prison by their uncle. Yeah, it's a fashion amongst us.
He was your uncle?
Maybe the details are particularly important, right?
Oh, I assume Racket was a gang name.
No, well, it's both, really. Who can you trust apart from your family? I mean, like, apart from that you can't trust your family.
What, each other?
Anyway.
I mean, look at what we came to.
Yes, our mercenary band, we can trust them. Anyway. Let's be careful about the ring.
No, nothing bad has happened yet. I mean, if something bad happens, we'll deal with
it. It's been a day!
Yeah.
Well, exactly.
You say nothing bad's happened yet. Like, we got sent down to some... Like, there was a spell guy that turned out to be a woman that turned out to be, like, much richer and more... We just managed to get away with it because I managed to stab her in the back, which, you know, I'm pretty good at. But still, exploded.
Also, Bertie, chop that guy in half.
Barrett sent
Thank you,
there,
you're welcome.
Let's draw a line under this. That's in the past. What are we doing for the future? Where are we going first?
So I didn't finish my list. The sixth thing on the list was an office at the University of Prague.
Right.
So at some point we need to go to Paris, and at some point we're going to need to go to Prague. And, well, but the other four things we should probably find out where the best place to go to study them is, because it might not be London, but we can probably decide where to go in London.
So what's closest then?
A bank, and ask about the safe deposit key, but we could go to Q to ask about the seed. I don't know anyone who knows anything about metallurgy.
Look, there's someone that I might know, but I'll only take you to him if you agree to also let him look at that ring.
Yeah. I mean,
that was easy.
Good.
No problem. Looking at it, I mean, it's just... I mean,
look,
it's kind of stuck.
I mean, I've got a knife right here.
No, I don't think that will be necessary.
Not in a public square, regardless. It's not just...
Well, a lot of us didn't have that option.
People might notice.
But, I'm wondering if maybe the British Museum or one of the universities, we could ask about the origami swan, because there's a quote on it as well, and I wondered if we can work out, you know, if it's from maybe a cultural text, and that might lead us to where the swan is from.
So... How easy is it to get to your metallurgy friend?
Well, I mean, friend is like...
Associate, acquaintance,
right.
Just...
Yeah, well, I know where he works. He might be a bit surprised to see me at all, but...
Is it going to be a stabby surprise?
No,
fine,
quite...
No, then, no problem.
Quite the opposite.
Good.
You know, which, you know, I often find a bit more awkward, you know?
She was surprised.
No, like... You know, when
so you walk into his workshop and he instantly sheaths all of the weapons in there. quick.
Surely a hug is the opposite of a stabbing.
Yeah.
Oh dear.
Never really got out of navigate. Look, let's just go.
All right.
Right.
Is that where we want to go first?
Why not? You might be able to, I don't know, disenchant it or something.
Yeah.
Maybe. Or cut your finger off.
Well, but let's
keep
made
going.
A deal with Barrett. I mean.
He isn't the kind of guy that keeps the deal.
And
two.
So, we will cut to you guys.
Hammond's slightly scared, worried face.
that was good, that was like
his normal face.
Dun 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 dun.
So, we follow you guys through the streets of London, and you start heading towards a sort of lesser upmarket, but, you know, still...
Sort of slightly dodgy, but still a jeweller's kind of
hangout. Yeah, yeah, good way of putting it.
It's in a reasonably poshish area, but it's really only still got that kind of trade because of
And heading into there, you keep walking along until eventually Sasha stops outside a large building with the words Gussets Antiques. And it's got a big archway across the door, and it's all like filigree lettering. The window, large glass, has been broken in. There are still antiques in the window, but a few of them appear to have been strewn about. The front door is open, it appears also to have been broken. There were some bars which appear to have been cut, and you see a figure moving around inside. It's too shadowy to see who they are, but from this distance, you'd have to give me a perception roll to see.
Serious question. Have you been cursed?
Well, it sometimes feels like that, mate. Like,
apart from
really,
that dice roll.
Yeah, I just rolled a 20.
It's clearly beaming.
Yay!
For everyone else, I'm not even going to bother to get you roll because, frankly, why bother? Sasha, you can see clearly it's your old acquaintance, yep. And he appears to be sort of hunched over some stuff. It would have been easy to mistake him for a thief, but you'd recognise that ear hair anywhere.
Mr. Gusset, it's... I'm so sorry, Mr. Gusset. I just open the door and I'm running.
No more. Oh, Sasha?
Mr. Gusset,
Sasha, come here. Oh my goodness, look at you. You're very sharp.
This is the most awkward hug that anyone has ever seen. Well, I don't want to speak for you. Maybe you've seen more awkward hugs. This is the most awkward hug that I have ever seen.
I should make a cringe roll.
So.
Wait, did you cringe well or cringe badly?
That's for me to know and you to wonder.
So, Sasha is talking to an incredibly short, even for a gnome,
I suppose why it's so awkward.
Yep.
I'm kneeling on the floor. I'm hugging him around his shoulders, and you know my head is sort of nuzzled into. It's a cuddly hug.
If he's short for a gnome and I'm tall for a halfling, we might be nearly the same size.
But super super short, wearing basically an apron, a leather apron, and what looks like sort of a fairly decent sort of shirt trousers combo underneath. But moving inside, you can see that the shop's been trashed. There's some things been smashed on the floor, there's mirrors been torn down, things like that. There's a couple of holes in the wall. It looks like someone's been punching holes in the floorboards and stuff as well. And yeah, Gusset's there holding a broom, but obviously has dropped that to give Sasha a big hug.
He is also, he is half Chinese and has a massive moustache that he's very proud of.
Mm-hmm. Enormous. Mm. Well, for him, it's almost normal sized on any other person. Sasha, Sasha, what are you doing here? Where have you been? Honestly, I've been sat here on my own wondering. I figured that maybe you'd done a delivery, but then you didn't come back, so I didn't know what was happening. So eventually I just... I knew who are those people? Hello.
Zog Smith, pleased to meet you.
This is my new boss, I guess, Mr. Gusset. Mr. Gusset, this is Zolf.
Charmed, I'm sure. What's the name?
Zolf Smith.
That's an interesting surname, Mr. Smith. Pleasure to meet you. And who are the others?
I am Sir Bertrand McGuffingham. For Old Botham, a delight to meet you, tiny man.
Yes. Oh, well, that's a Sweetie. Grip. That's a grip.
Isn't it just?
Yep.
Well, you can always take the measure of a man by his handshake. I always feel, and you are a tiny man.
Yes, Sasha's clearly going up.
He's a gnome, Bertie.
I want to say up in the world. Who's your final friend?
This is Hamid.
Hi, Hamid. Nice to meet you.
Oh, pleasure. Goodness, I wasn't expecting people. I have been so worried, Sasha. Honestly, I didn't expect you to be making friends. That's a new one. Hello, goodness me. So, I mean, how long have you guys known Sasha? Honestly, I apologise for the mesh. And he
feels,
starts
feels like
up.
Weeks.
About weeks and weeks.
3 days.
3 days. Goodness me. Look at you coming out your shell finally. I'm very happy for you, Sasha. Honestly, take a seat. I'm sure I've got some other teacup somewhere.
At least 17 different interesting things have happened in
oh,
that
Oh, do tell
time.
Me. You have to tell me about them in chronological order because that's the best order that there is. Mr. And then he starts going
well,
around pouring tea.
Well, the scene opens.
Oh, no.
Mr. Gusset, forget about me for a second. What's happened to your shop?
Oh,
What's
well, got- you know, I think you can guess.
He came, didn't he?
Well... It was weird. He wasn't after you. He was after some paperwork.
He asked me for some as well. I didn't know what it was.
Yeah, you wouldn't. But I mean, they didn't find anything useful. But
wait, you know what this thing is? You know what it is all along?
I might.
He called it a will, right? You guys remember? He said there was a will.
Oh, Sasha, I didn't want you to hear about that. I was deliberately making sure that it couldn't get traced to you, love. I'm really sorry.
Look, okay, we're on a mission, a quest, I guess. Cool. Right? There's stuff that we've got to do.
Wait, is this one of those good quests or one of those bad quests? Because I've been trying long enough to get you out of those bad quests, and the last thing
that
I want
quest.
Is
it's a good quest. It's definitely a good quest.
It's a glorious quest.
It's a job.
Oh, a job. Wait, is this a good job or a bad job? Because I know the kind of jobs that Sasha's been involved in the past. And quite frankly, if you, sir, are trying
probably
to lead her
better
down...
than the job she's been doing.
Right, I mean, before we get into anything, Hamid's got... Look, Hamid, show him your hand.
He met Barrett.
Oh,
well,
right.
We all met Barrett.
Who's okay. The weird, ghoulish guy he's with? You don't know about him, do you?
Sasha, have you been telling them that I move in your circles? Because quite frankly, sir, I do not move in Sasha's circles. I am merely here to help and expedite those who try to get themselves out of such circumstances, and I don't know why you would make such an accusation.
Yeah, sure. Anyway, ring.
Mr. Gussett was my employer. He doesn't know other London, right? He trades with people, but he's not a racket.
I know enough. Right, come over here. He pulls Hamid over to...
Hamid now has a ring on each hand. They look more or less the same.
Okay, right. So which one is it?
Halflings and their rings, honestly.
I present him my left hand.
Left hand, right. He plonks it on the table and, again, things have been massed around and he picks up what looks like a jeweller's eyeglass from the floor, points it at and he goes, yeah, I've seen this one before. Well, I've got good news and I've got bad news. Which would you like?
Both.
The glorious news.
I'm sorry, but on the bright side, I don't know how to do both at once. But basically, what the thing is that, I mean, on the downside, I'm afraid, yes, you're going to have a lot of trouble taking it off. We ran into something similar with Sasha, although I'd say that this one's certainly less severe than Sasha's.
I got it off.
I
take the glove off.
Right. Yes.
I got it off.
I would say, however, that certainly yours seems significantly less permanent. So what it looks like...
I examined it for magic, and it's quite some powerful divination, but there doesn't seem to be anything else underneath.
Oh, forgive me, my young lad, I don't think you're quite understanding the situation. Magic's only one way that you can punish people, and there's nothing easier than to trap someone who believes magic is the solution to all their problems than use something mundane. No.
All my ring could do was listen and trap me, and he's got enough people to make that...
He's a big
enough.
Fan of one-way rings, and let's just say that those razors can cut, can't they? But apparently nothing like that, but I would say, I assume you can't take it off?
No, it doesn't.
He starts applying it. Yes, if you're having trouble, it'll be a universal glue, I'm afraid. I'd say that it's not permanent. It's certainly not like our Sasha had to deal with, but I also would say it's going to be quite difficult to remove without a significant chemical lab.
Do you know what it's doing, Mr. Gussett? Do you know if Barrett can hear everything we're saying?
Hello, Mr. Barrett. Hello. Hello. Wavy, wavy, wave.
If Barrett's using us basically as a way of tracking down this stuff, we're looking for something extremely powerful, and if there's anyone in the world that shouldn't have it...
I'm going to be honest, Sasha. I mean, I'm not an expert. Give me a device. Heck, give me a magical device and I can probably hook you up, but... I mean...
I've got to say, I think you're giving Barrett too much credit. We're going to go to lots of places around the world, and there's going to be far more dangerous people than Barrett there.
He said he already...
Oh, there we go. Right, he's taking a couple of notes. Again, it's a good news, bad news. I would say it looks like this is not designed for listening in.
Well, that's fine then.
Yeah. Bad news is there's no way to stop messages coming from the other end.
That's fine. He can talk to us. We can ignore him.
I don't think you understand. Hamid won't be able to. This is kind of quite direct.
We're talking a possession-y kind of...
No. Just certainly... Yeah, definitely messages, but I wouldn't want that person having a direct line to me. I don't know about you guys.
Okay, now, are we going to keep talking in sort of vagaries, or are you just going to tell us what's going on?
Don't threaten Mr. Gussett.
Didn't threaten, I just asked directly.
Oh, it's all right. I've dealt with significantly scarier friends than Mr. Smith. No, I would have to say that I expect if Hamid were to speak to Barrett would receive it. If Barrett were to speak to Hamid, he'd receive it. But I certainly don't expect that Barrett could take control or could listen in on other conversations. I think it's very much a one-way communication between Hamid and Barrett. Of course, if you wanted to then pursue that further, I suspect you could probably force some kind of message back the other way. But I wouldn't know how to go about that. You need quite a lot of willpower.
If it's just a communication device, it can't be that dangerous.
I guess.
That's fine. So long as in the middle of a fight, Barrett can't take over you and, like... You know, get you to put a dagger to our throats.
Well, I'd say this. He couldn't use magic to compel him to do anything. It'd burn out. It hasn't got that kind of capacity.
Also, if he wanted us dead, he could have easily killed us. So it's probably not going to be his thing.
Oh, yeah.
He might want us to achieve...
So can we stop worrying about the ring now and get back to the investigation?
Right. Oh, but also, we've got some metal. Mr. Gussett is the best at magical devices.
We should help Mr. Gussett. I mean, shouldn't we... Is there anything we can do for you?
Not really. I mean, We knew they were going to be coming. It's not like they broke anything valuable. To spell out, by the way, everything around you looks super valuable, by the way, like proper antiques and not, you know, Fabergé eggs and stuff like that, but certainly like delicate glasswork filigree and very expensive antiques. And he's just kind of waving it all off. And there's, you know, the shattered remnants of a 200-year-old thing on the floor. And he's like, yes, there's nothing really important here, honestly. But I was expecting, I'm so sorry to have dragged you into, oh yes, I didn't really drag you, you dragged me, but we sort of mutually dragged each other, didn't we, Sasha? I'm so sorry about that.
Mr. Gusset, you've always been good to me, and I don't have enough to make up for what this is, and we know who did it, and tracking him down...
No, don't bother. Why bother? Honestly, we know what they were looking for.
Can't the constables do anything?
The constables can do anything up to about 5 feet underground, in my experience, and 5 feet in front of their faces. Bless them, they do try, but that's about all they do, if you know what I mean.
Well, in which case, you want to do an appraisal for us, and we will give you fair payment, whatever that may be.
Oh, for Sasha's friends? No, of course, don't be ridiculous. Do show me what it is. Come on, Al.
I get the piece of metal out and hand it to him.
He holds it up to the light, spins it, licks a little bit, taps it, puts it down, jeweler's glass. Goodness me, it's been a long time since I've seen any of this.
Told you Mr. Gusset was the best.
Oh, goodness me. Now, I haven't seen any of this since the Sarkozy brothers, I believe it was. They were the ones who were selling it last time, but that was a long time ago. Goodness me. What you have here, my friends, is some true adamantine. It's been a long time since I've seen that. Goodness me.
Wow. Adamantine.
Sasha, blank looks.
Yeah, Sasha, you'll have only really worked up to about Mithra, really. I mean, it takes a... Frankly, I couldn't get the materials for you to learn, honestly. Adamantine, no, it's an incredibly hard, incredibly sharp metal.
I mean, and it makes absolutely amazing... like armour or weapons.
Often used by dandy highwaymen who we're too scared to mention.
I am ashamed and delighted that happened.
Oh, that took me a while to get.
Brilliant.
Right, let's keep this going, shall we?
Stand and deliver some more information.
But yes, goodness me, I mean... giggles.
Yeah.
Goodness me, yes, I have to say, I mean, but this is true adamantine. I mean, the dwarves, they let's be honest, they managed to industrialise every other process. They've industrialised adamantine production, but no, I'm talking true adamantine. This is basically first generation construction techniques. I haven't seen this in anything post-Rome. I mean, honestly, let me think. I mean, this is probably going to be Damascan. I haven't encountered this as anything post-Rome, really. I mean, the idea that someone still knows how to make this stuff is absolutely amazing. I mean, where did you come by it? Honestly, if I could get hold of some of this stuff, the things that we could make... Oh, Sasha, we could make some really glorious things with this.
That's all...
Never wears, never tears. That's all... Honestly, I mean, it's not particularly flexible, but it's quite hard. I mean, if we could carry... I'm sorry, I'm talking, aren't I?
Well, that's all we have, but what we want to know is where it came from, and you think it's probably from Damascus.
Oh, guaranteed. I mean, honestly, I mean, no one... You see those walls you see with the dwarven processor, you get a very clean sheen, but it tends to be slightly weaker for it, I find. But no, with that patterning, it's certainly a Damascan technique, but I mean, someone could have gone there, learned how to do it, and take the process elsewhere, but as far as I understand it, it requires quite a lot of natural resources that are located in Damascus, so I don't...
Tell how old that is.
This, oof. Now, that is interesting.
It was being made into something that was kind of new, like we're...
Well, I mean, really? Adamantine does take magic very easily. I mean, it's very easy to enchant it with other magical effects.
Oh, very much so. In fact, it's almost necessary and it's working. I mean, honestly, when you're trying to work it with mundane tools, it takes you away.
It was definitely, I mean, I think it was something that was newly designed, right? It wasn't that he dug that thing up.
As far as we can tell, yeah.
He reaches out and reaches for a microscope, which falls apart in his hands. He goes, then proceeds to incredibly speedily build a new one from basically the remnants of what's on the desk. Well, the fun thing is, with the patterning, as often you can tell a lot about the date by the patterning, the patterns tend to change. It's one of the interesting things about adamantine.
So...
This was probably made within the last few years.
Right, so
someone's making true adamantine! You ought to take me! Oh god, that'd be amazing!
How can you tell that it was made in the last few years if it's all these fancy patterns and it's something that's not been made for millennia?
The process required to make this leaves some distinctive patterns. Those patterns change over time. It's like trees and rings, I think.
Ah,
Now I completely understand.
Basically, yes, yes. So those patterns and change. So when you can tell how complex the pattern is, determines how old it is.
Mr. It's Gusset why... is the best teacher. He could even teach Bertie.
Bertie's been spending really the last 20 minutes just flicking his helmet up and down to see how the grills look. Ooh, that's why he's not been saying
there's
very
much. There's a lot
much.
Of mirrors here. And yes. Lots of antique mirrors.
Hello.
Essentially, mind selfies.
As a general rule of thumb, the more elaborate the patterning on the adamantine is, the older it is. Mm. So, I mean, I know it looks fairly elaborate, but you haven't seen old adamantine, honestly. Yes, this is...
Mr. Gusset, is there anyone we should chase down? He can go on the list,
honey. Honestly, I have no idea, Sasha. I mean, the best I can say is Damascus. I mean, they'd have to ship resources from Damascus to make true adamantine. I mean, it only works with their salt resources.
Find out more, at the very least.
Going to Damascus?
Why not?
Yeah.
Well, eventually, we've got some other places to go first.
What are you wrapped up in this time, Sasha?
It's a good one, Mr. Gusset. I'm on the right side.
Promise me.
I'm here by choice. They're not keeping me.
Oh, fantastic! Oh, great! He starts pouring tea. Goodness me, that is a change, isn't it?
Yeah, they haven't enslaved me or anything.
Oh, God, things
are... Yeah, I'm paying her.
I see, I told you things would turn up. I told you things would look up, didn't I? Right, okay, well, yes,
you're
everyone have
right,
some tea.
Mr. Gusset.
Oh, I know, but I don't like making a big thing about it. Now, honestly, yes, you can take that. Sasha, if you could bring me back just how they do it, you would make me so happy.
I'll do the best I can, Mr. Gusset. If there's anyone that can be trusted in the world with that kind of idea, Mr. Gusset, it's you, Mr. Gusset.
Oh, well, all right, well.
Well, thank you so much for your help. It really was a pleasure to meet you.
Before you go, though, he sort of totters over to the mantelpiece, reaches up as high as he can, and it's a full-size, like, human fireplace. Looks incredibly old, and then he basically taps two leaves, and then a panel slides out from the top, and he starts pulling out at what looks like a burlap sack. It doesn't look particularly full. Oh, Sasha, could you give me a hand? It's very heavy. Anyway, he...
Sasha goes to help.
And then a sack lands on the bottom and he goes, I wasn't fool enough to leave the important stuff out, was I? I mean, honestly, well, I wouldn't be much of a merchant with that kind of logic. Anyway, he starts reaching in a bit further. Now his feet are poking out from this burlap sack and he's still reaching in.
I hold the edge of his feet. Yep. I've seen him get over enthusiastic and dive into bags before.
Oh, where is it? Right. Oh, there we go. Right. Here you go, Sasha. Wow. And he hands Sasha the following list. Rakefine gave me this to hold for you, but I suspect, yes, given circumstances, I should probably pass this on to you. I don't really know much of what it means.
I pass it over to Zolf. I have no idea. I think some of them are famous, right? I mean, I haven't spent all that much time topside, but. I even recognise some of these. These are big names, right? I don't...
Some of them. I've not heard of half of them. Well, we know that guy, Tesla.
Yeah. Rakefine was the guy that...
Yes.
That Barrett sent me to live with. And he...
Sad affair.
Yeah. Supposedly free, but, you know, the ring for the people watching...
So, yes, there's a few famous names on here that everyone would know. However, Bertie.
Hello.
So, the name Jay Austin rings a vague bell for you. Mm. Off the top of your head, it may be someone that one of your aunts tried to set you up with previously. Or it may have been one of the aunts who tried to set you up with someone else previously. Mm. It's all a bit vague. You are aware of... Nightingale is the name of a hospital in central London. And, obviously, Tesla... The rest are less well known, apart from potentially Sasha. What knowledges do you have against Sasha?
I have only knowledge local.
Knowledge local. I'll chuck you this one for free just from spending time with Beaming.
All right.
Basically, Babbage is someone who has been known to be trying to replicate the feats of the French ordinateurs. He has been working in London, although apparently he's out in Europe somewhere at the moment.
We don't know about Lovelace as well, then?
Yeah, probably. Basically, a couple of them have been working to try and emulate them. That's kind of a professional interest from you.
Magical devices, what do you think? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, recognise a couple, but...
It's just a list of names. Did he say anything about...
Honestly, not a lot.
There's a lot of, like, famous people,
oh, my dear man.
But...
He looks at Zolf's hand as he's holding the envelope. Now, that is interesting. May I? He, without even sort of hesitating, he reaches out for the ring.
And I snatch my hammer. No, you may not.
Oh, well, I mean, could I have a look? I mean, I won't touch. I won't touch. Please? Maybe?
Is it gusset can be trusted as well?
Looking at what? For the audience's benefit.
Sure. So, upon Zolf's hand is a ring. Okay? Upon that ring, it appears to be some kind of signet ring. Very plain, not very obtrusive. However, he seems to be reacting to the emblem upon the signet.
What about it?
I've seen that one before, my lad.
Yeah?
As in, well, he looks at Sasha. I mean, is it okay he's wearing Rick Fine's ring? I mean, that's...
What?
Wait, what? That's...
That's my
great uncle's ring?
I've seen that design in two places. One of your tutors and in Rakevine. And let me tell you, I mean, I know the tutors all right.
You knew my family all along? Wait, this is just another of Barrett's plots, isn't it? All of you are just minions.
Sasha, get
of
over
his...
here right now. He starts standing in front of her. How dare you, sir? You get welcomed in, and the first thing that you do is you pilfer. You. He starts reaching in for the bag for something.
Are you quite done?
No! Where is it, for goodness sake?
Bertie leans in and just picks him up.
Wait. Right front, are you saying that he stole this from you? I don't think Zolf would do that, but I don't... Wait, did you know my family before, Zolf?
No, this did not come from anywhere near London. This came from my hometown. I don't know where whoever originally owned this ring got it from, but...
Politely, may I please have a look at the ring without touching it to determine whether it is in fact the ring of my late friend and Sasha's benevolent benefactor.
Since you're making such a darn fuss about it, I suppose.
Bertie then moves. Here comes the airship. Yeah. Poot, yeah.
Please.
You know what? I'm going to have a break there as the airplane comes in to examine the ring. And we will rejoin you in a couple of minutes.
Hello? Oh, I sit there. And talking to this? This? Right. Good. That is odd. Yes. And you, bring me a whiskey. With a rum in it. Yeah, lovely. Good evening, peasants. I am Sir Bertrand MacGuffingham. Now, I've been told the tales of my feats of heroism, adventure, and utterly selfless derring-do were spreading far and wide, arcing across the sky like lightning, rending the heavens in twain with their magnitude and ploughing into people's ears like a plough made of me being splendid. Now, the important thing is that I'm excellent, and everyone should know just how excellent I am. So in order to set yet more ears aquiver in anticipation of my every exploit, I would like you, specifically you, to tell your friends about how utterly super I am. Now, according to the technical busybods of Rusty Quill, and trust me, their bods are very busy, if you tell a friend about us and they subscribe to my tales of chivalric daring, then when they send us an email to mail@rustyquill.com with their name and the person who recommended it, they will have an episode dedicated to them. Now, I've no idea what that means, but it sounds jolly lovely. Anyway, once you've done all of that, all you need to do is pop the cash in non-consecutive bills into an envelope and send it along... What? What? What do you mean they don't have to pay? Oh, I am literally never... Don't! You test me, sir! Fine. Well, recommend us to your friends and don't pay us and you still get your own episode. Now, if it excuses me, I have to have a serious chat with the underlings about the actual meaning of the word mercenary.
And welcome back. So, yes, Beaming Gusset was just looking into that ring.
So I'm reluctantly holding my hand out to him and kind of giving him... both of you, really, both you and Sasha, really mean words.
And this is while Beaming is suspended from Bertie's hand, swinging slightly in the breeze. Yeah.
Well, yes, I mean, could you do me a favour? Could you sway your hand with... Yep, yeah, thank you.
Paused in mid-flight.
Just a bit of respect, Bertie, okay?
Right, well...
He's in first class.
Now just accepting the situation, Beaming puts the eyeglass back into his pocket and just goes, I owe you an apology, sir. That is definitely the wrong size. I did have to check, and I apologise, obviously. I mean, we're both a bit shaken up, obviously, with everything that's happened ever so recently, and lots of new people turning up, and obviously my shop's been trashed, so I think I lost track of the situation there. I'm very sorry, but do you happen to know the history of the ring at all, or...?
No.
Well, or...
And I don't care.
Okay, well, fair enough. May I stand now, Mr. McGuffingham of Old Botham?
Sir Bertrand.
Yes.
Coming into land. Yeah. Oh, is the runway clear?
Just a little bit of respect, right? Just, he's a good friend, a mentor.
There will be a trolley service coming around and pops him down.
Bertie, I don't even know what that means.
Thank you, Mr. Gusset, for your time.
Yeah, thank you. Like, I would have had to chop off Emma's hand.
Sasha, come here.
Going for another hug.
He then starts pulling you towards a back room.
Oh, right, no. Stumble along. Having laid down.
We'll just wait here then, will we?
I hope you had a pleasant trip on McGuffingham Airways and you'll choose McGuffingham again.
He closes the door and goes, I'm just checking. You are all right. Everything's okay?
Yeah, like, it's, you know, it's what I'm good at, and they're not forcing me to stick around, and I guess that's what kind of makes me want to stick around, is the... It's the first time I've actually been asked if I wanna do a job, you know? Well, I mean, you never forced me to stay here, but it was, you know, he suggested it and it worked out.
I am happy for you. Listen, one moment. He reaches over to a chest of drawers which is kind of on one leg and been trashed. He then reaches out and twists three of the handles and then pulls out the drawer underneath, which is suddenly significantly larger than the drawer should be for underneath, reaches in, pulls out another bag, another burlap sack which is comparatively empty, and just hands it to Sasha. If you're going travelling, I think you're going to use this more than I am. I think you'll find it more than adequate for your travelling needs. You've always been a light packer.
I'd take it. Open it.
It seems peculiar, like the folds of sackcloth. It seems like you're having a bit of trouble finding the bottom of it. It's very faffy, do you know what I mean?
Right, I think I won't check it in front of him. That's looking a gift horse. That's rolling a perception check on a gift horse.
Anyway, he passes it at you and then he closes that sort of secret drawer again. He goes, right, well...
Mr. Gus, is there anything I can do? This is my fault. They smashed up your thing because I ran away.
Oh, Sasha, it's not your fault. Some things happen and they're not your fault and you just get swept up in them, Sasha. Honestly, I mean, goodness knows, I've been here long enough and you're still helping me, but that doesn't mean that I'm somehow a cause for your problems and you're a cause for mine.
I get it, Mr. Gus. It's fine. They're good people. I'm gonna go back to them. I'll let you know if we learn how to make adamantine. I'll send you sketches of some of the cool devices that I take apart.
Do it, it'd be fantastic. And he reaches over to the door, stops and turns around. And if you ever need it, I've seen that armour before. If you just apply a little bit of pressure to the right knee plate, you can cause that leg to lock up. You know, just FYI.
Good to know.
He opens the door and ushers it back in.
Whilst they're in the back room.
Mm-hmm.
Zolf, are you okay?
Absolutely fine, thank you, Hamid.
Are you sure?
Yep. Not everyone's so keen to talk about their parts as Sasha is, so thank you for leaving.
Okay, if that's better, I just... Okay.
I, on the other hand, am delighted to talk about my past at any available opportunity. Do you remember that time at university when I threw you over that fence?
Yes, probably a lot better than you do, but...
Do you remember that other time that I threw you over that fence?
And Sasha returns with Gusset. Remember, right knee lock. Okay, so, well, I think that's everything covered.
Right, so, what's next?
Well, maybe, what's near here? I mean, Kew's a bit far, but maybe the bank or the British Museum? Do you think the museum would be better than one of the universities?
Oh, you know, I did once remember meeting, I think there was somebody at the British Museum. Think, Bertie, think. You met him at a party. Hang on, one second, chaps. I'm just going to go into my shed.
That does seem more appropriate.
There's some compost. There's a hoe. What?
I'll just make some more tea while we wait.
Hang on.
Dead spider.
Bertie, do you know what a mind thingy is? It's supposed to be a memory aid, not a literal
Hang on,
shed.
I can't hear you. The walls of the shed are really thick.
Right, we'll jump the 5 minutes it takes for Bertie to finally come to a conclusion.
I know someone at the British Museum.
Really?
Well, I met him at a party once. Seemed like a nice man. He had a face and...
So the museum next, then? Or the bank? Or the museum's probably closer.
We wander around the museum, see if you recognise anyone.
Yes.
We can go to the clocks and clockwork exhibition.
Oh, they've got a new exhibit. It's really interesting. They found magical water clocks where the clocks drip up, but it actually keeps better time.
That's extraordinary.
I know.
Like, what kind of water do they use?
We'll go ahead and assume that you guys finish this conversation. I'll let you guys
wrap
up.
I think we're dragged away from it.
Sure, in which case, are you heading to the British Museum then?
Yes.
Okay, so, yeah, you guys head on to the British Museum. You guys head through the city, and you work your way across till you're heading into the museum district, by which I mean enormous, 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 enormous buildings, and they're sort of few and far between with some parks and stuff between. Eventually, you make your way to the British Museum. Large column structure, big dome, and wings off to the left, wings off to the right. A big place. You could probably get yourself lost in there quite quickly if you wanted.
So the British Museum.
Well, yeah.
Do you know where the curators hang out?
Well, there'll is there be a curator's bar?
There'll be an office, probably, at least. But we should go and ask there, and maybe you'll recognise this friend of yours.
Anything more than they had a face? Lots of people have faces.
Hang on, so if I move the ceramic pots...
We'll say that you're moving
trowels.
Into the museum as this is happening.
As the mineshed exploration is continuing.
There is a desk at the front, a large set of staircase at the far end of a big hall, and effectively there is a think of it as an information desk with a little clerk behind it. He looks up, looks at all of you wearily, looks at Bertie, squints, then goes... puts a finger up for a moment, and then just runs off.
What did you do to the clerk, Bertie?
I impressed him by looking fabulous.
Are we in trouble, or is that a good one?
I think that was probably a good thing.
What did you do to this curator at the party?
Well, you know, there was port, it was passed to the left, and, you know, when you have a circle of one person, it goes around surprisingly.
Sir Bertrand. At which point, a large, well-dressed man, not as over-the-top large as Bertie is, but nonetheless well-fed and fairly broad shoulders, striding. He is wearing a suit, like a proper suit, sharp, very well-made, spectacles which are on a chain around his neck. Sir Bertrand, goodness me, to think, one of the old bottom clan, back in the British Museum at last. Such a pleasure, such a pleasure.
Ah, well, of course, learning is such fun, so I thought, what better place to do some learns than the British Museum.
Oh, goodness me, yes, honestly. I must confess, you were so far gone, I didn't think you'd remember me from that party, but clearly I was...
Oh, perish that thought, of course. No, I remember everything with crystal clarity.
Oh, do introduce me.
The crystal in question is decanter crystal, and is much more visible because there's no port in it. But with that said...
Well, naturally. So who are your friends? Do introduce me.
Oh, so here, of course, we have Zolf Smith.
Pleasure.
Yes, Cleric of Poseidon. Here we have my old university chum, Hamid.
Hamid, nice to meet you.
Pleasure to meet you, young man.
Mm. And, of course, this young lady is Sasha Rackett. Mm.
Oh, pleasure to meet you.
Hi.
And I'm Elijah Wormwood. Yes, pleasure. He kind of looks...
Of course, Wormwood doesn't barely need saying. Of course, we all know precisely who Elijah Wormwood is.
Well, yes, quite obviously.
I was
Give me a diplomacy check to see... bluff check, sorry, to see if he even buys that.
13 plus 1, 14.
Does he get a flattery bonus?
Oh, pomp and pageantry.
Yes!
We'll give you the pomp and pageantry plus
one. That would make it 15.
Yeah, he looks a bit confused for a moment and goes... Yes, of course. Of course, yes. I mean, obviously. Yes, ignore me. Goodness, well, you'll be wanting to see the, you'll be wanting to see the Old Bottom Wing, presumably. On right this way.
The Old Bottom Wing?
Wait, you've got
wing? You can fly?
No, I think they mean a large part of a building.
Whoa.
It was a bequest of my great-grandfather, the British Museum. Of course, he ran out of places to keep his booty.
Fascinating, Matt.
Yes, really a most prodigious booty.
So he had to store that junk outside of trunks.
He did. It was in trunks, and then it was removed from the trunks and put on display.
Goodness me, the fact that he stored these things in trunks, honestly, treasures beyond imagining. Yes. He's putting them in trunks.
So now the booty is on public display for all to see.
See masses of booty.
I mean, yes, we'd love to have a quick look, but we did come to consult you about something. I mean, Bertie mentioned your expertise, and we were hoping you might just take a look at something for us.
course.
Oh, of course,
maybe
of course.
We should see the wing first.
Walk and talk, young man. Walk and talk.
Oh, very. He's, of course.
He starts walking. So,
I'm struggling to keep up.
Yeah, he has a what he would
classics
clearly
professorial stride.
Yeah, very, very sort of strideful movement. Very quick, no nonsense. So, do talk to me. Yes, what seems to be the problem?
Well,
on
we see, we found
this is a left.
This is this.
And I present him the origami swan.
Fascinating. Mind the pike. He ducks.
I don't.
Wait for it. Clong.
Oh.
Ah. Well, we just wondered, you know, where it might be from, and do you see there's something written on it as well? I thought maybe that was significant.
Oh, yes. Thank you for reminding me not to forget your culture. Slightly appropriation is not what we're really into here, but nonetheless, okay, interesting, right? Well, the paper's thin ply. This is a right, and interesting, yes, watch the stairs, and yeah, it's probably Japanese origin. I'm sad that it's such a mundane answer, but you can tell by the paper, you see. It's a single-ply rise. It's very weak.
Are there multiple islands? Or could it be, you know, made more specific to one of the regions, maybe?
Honestly, and looking at kind of this, I mean, you've noticed the watermark, presumably.
Oh, no, I hadn't.
He deftly unfolds it. He actually got very, very quick hands for someone so large and holds it up to the light. And you can see that it has... Imagine you had one of the yin-yang symbols, except you removed the black half, so it's just the white half, like a drop. And that's encased in a circle, but a sort of wider circle, so you don't sort of have that yin-yang symbol. Interesting. Watermark means nothing to me, but honestly, with that kind of industrial processing, you're looking at this kind of ply, you're looking at either mainland Japan or Hokkaido. It requires a certain industrial complex in order to build
okay,
it.
Well,
it's certainly not of any kind of ancient origin.
Of course, yeah, no. Clearly modern.
And squid ink.
Oh, really?
That's not something you see every day. Fascinating. Well, there you go. Make of that what you will. I hope that helped. Ah,
thank you.
Here we are. He gestures to a big set of double doors, which are currently closed, and there's the old bottom family seal of the three Maltese falcons above the doorway. Without further ado, he opens the door and pushes it aside, and the first thing that is staring at you is an enormous tank in the middle of a room. It's cylindrical, full of green liquid, and has the most hideous abomination. It looks like someone tried to build a human out of all of the bits of dead human it could find that was about two times the size of a normal human, pickled in the middle of the jar, just floating there.
Oh God, Bertie, were your parents necromancers? What is that?
More romancers than necromancers.
Oh, you like our flesh golem? Yes, yes, quite the draw it has been in the past. I mean, we've had to close the exhibit recently, just, you know, not much footfall as there once were, but nonetheless, very impressive. And if you just follow me, he starts walking around now. Naturally, you'll see some of these are very interesting. Some things from the Parisian catacombs that are quite interesting. He gestures to a sort of a clay jar on the wall. It's said that the bandit lords are still locked in there. Goodness me, that was an interesting...
Hello, bandit lords. Knock, knock.
I would not do that if I was you. And
sucks to be you.
I cast detect magic.
Okay, you encounter an enormous amount of magical energy from most things in the room, and anything that doesn't have a big, powerful glow to it has a residual glow to it. Of particular note is the next things that he references. You see a pair of staves, which are next to one another, right next to that part. And he goes, that'll be the Cackling Wrath and Dark Flame, the two staves of the Scythian sisters. Goodness me, those were a problematic pair, as I understand it.
Hammond's eyes are just getting wider and wider as he's struggling to cope with all the ridiculous things.
Quite a heritage you've got here.
Oh, yes, I mean, that'll be from the Mediterranean exhibition. I mean, it's smaller than it once was. We've got some things out on loan, you see. And over here we have the Egyptian area, quite interesting. It's said that this is the cursed jeweled shawl of Nefertiti herself.
Sasha's hands are shaking.
Oh, I wouldn't if I was you, my dear. The very thought of putting on something that would suck the life out of me and pass it to the next wearer? No, I don't think I'd be wearing that anytime soon. Goodness me.
Wait, how does that work?
Yeah.
So we're leapfrogs wearers?
Yeah.
No. The first person who wears it dies. The next person who wears it gets double life.
Ah.
But if they take it off, they die.
How many people have worn it?
Oh, I don't know. Care to chance your luck? Don't touch it. I'm being very serious. It's incredibly dangerous, and that's why there's a velvet rope.
Well, I know some designs keep me out when I see it.
And a small, discreet sign saying, please do not touch.
He works his way around, and you'll see ensconced in another part of the wall an enormous crystal with a hideous-looking woman with her hair is all splayed out behind her. She doesn't appear to have much in the way of legs, yet she has arms reaching out for the person who's viewing, encased in crystal. Oh, yes.
Grandpa used to have this as a paperweight. Got rid of it. Minging thing. I mean, look at it.
Oh, yes. I mean, that's actually the Banshee from the Parisian Catacombs. Very, very impressive. I mean, honestly, God knows how he put it in a crystal. But, you know, he was brilliant. And you know what they say? The old bottoms, they're a smart lot, eventually.
Yes, yes. No, we're known for our intellect.
Right. Yes.
Our intellectual prowess is widely renowned, if ambiguously.
There he is himself, the man himself, Sir Everard MacGuffingham. And he points to like a final ensconcement, and there's a full-size statue of a man wielding a sword, big shield, stood there, mid-battle prowl, big scream in his voice. Wait.
Are we sure this is just a statue?
What, not just his like petrified corpse?
No, not just like someone in a really good disguise.
He does look just like you, Bertie.
Quite the family resemblance, isn't there? Like, arr! Look, this is me, and this is him, look. Arr!
Actually, Sasha has got a point. If we put that in a pond, it would be almost, you'd
exactly
be able to tell the difference.
Yeah.
See?
Again, I'm not particularly comfortable. You saw the velvet ropes, didn't you?
Yes. Also, the very powerful magical barriers around everything in this wing.
Well, you know, we have to keep something safe. I mean, ultimately, the security's not what it once was, but it's we lock it down at night, you know? He kind of stands next to Bertie, looks back to Sir Everard on his plinth. You know, you have got a certain air about you now with the armour. Brings a smile to my face, like, yeah. History's come alive.
I'm alive!
Oh, goodness me, yes. That's very funny. So, yes, I have to say I'm very, I'm very impressed with your enthusiasm, which actually leads me on to, I have to say, Mr. Bertie, that the latest donation is actually overdue for the week. There's some basic maintenance. I mean, truth be told, your friend's quite right, we did once have a lot of magical barriers, which we can't really maintain, we can't afford at the moment, and we're just overdue a... I mean, I'm sure it's fine, obviously, but just to make you aware...
Oh, I'm sure it's a simple clerical error. I shall discuss this post-haste with my lawyers. Not a problem at all.
That's fine. I mean, we accept cheque as well, so, I mean, do feel free. I mean, we can process it on site if you'd rather.
I must have left my cheque in my other incredibly glorious falcon-encrusted armour. It pats himself down. Where did I leave? Was it under the plant pots? Was it next to the trowels?
I mean, the thing is, I'm going to be honest.
Just having a think.
See, the money was actually required to fund Carter's latest expedition, and, you know, what with the maintenance, the prior payment before that didn't actually make it through either. Mr. MacGuffingham, I do hate to put you in this position, sir, but ultimately we may be required to disband the exhibition.
Oh my goodness.
Obviously, I wouldn't want to do that. I mean... Apologies. I didn't mean to show up your good friend here in front of all of you like this.
So, it's all right. No damage done.
A simple clerical error requires no embarrassment whatsoever. Of course, you know, I'm sure that the gentleman and lady would be very interested in just standing in this room and looking at things while we perhaps go off slightly further away.
Yes. Very well.
Sasha goes over to the weapon rack and stands with big eyes.
I go and study the two magical staves I saw earlier.
Okay, as you go over to the magical staves, you see your dog, which has followed you and the curator didn't seem particularly bothered, is sniffing around at the staves. And he's sniffing around the base of them.
Oh, dog, no, don't, dog. Dog, come here, dog.
The dog proceeds to ignore Hamid entirely. Mr. Bertie, your
Brutal, come here.
The dog proceeds to sort of nudge one of the staves and it starts to topple. Oh dear.
Try and leap in and catch it.
Give me a reflex save.
4 plus 1 is 5.
Nice. 5. So yeah, the stave begins to fall. You reach out to grab it, fumble. The thing clatters on the ground. There's an enormous boom. And a section of wall appears to not be there anymore. Specifically, the section right next to the vase, or vase, depending where you're from. Bits of masonry start falling down, the curator starts panicking. Oh my goodness, what have you done? The vase then falls and shatters. At which point, a large cloud of smoke starts coming out of it.
Oh dear.
This is bad. This is very, very bad. Everybody out of the room! Out of the room! Out of the room! Out of the room! The curator starts sort of walking, I say walking, running to the main doors. Good idea to get out of the room now! Good idea to get out of the room now! He just steps out and doesn't wait for you all.
Good plan!
Yep, we run out. Well, I run after him.
Yep, I'll toss her out of the room.
And with a mysterious cloud of smokes beginning to spiral around the broken vase or vase, as chunks of masonry continue to fall from a blasted outside, and the curator having a bit of a panic outside, and you guys fleeing, I think we'll end it there for the rest of the week.
Bye.
Dun 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 dun.
Dun 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 dun. Bye all.
Bye.
Rusty Quill Gaming is a podcast distributed by RustyQuill.com and licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial International License. Today's episode was recorded and produced by Alexander J. Newell. To comment on episodes, make donations, and view links, images, videos, and show notes, visit RustyQuill.com. Rate and review us on iTunes. Visit us on Facebook. Tweet us on Twitter at TheRustyQuill or email us at mail@RustyQuill.com. Thanks for listening. Hello, we're just taking a moment here to thank everyone who took the time to leave us those reviews in those first 8 weeks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It was massively helpful. You chucked us onto the front page of iTunes very, very quickly, and we stayed there, and it was great, and it's going to allow us to make a lot more podcasts, a lot more interesting things, and we're really, really grateful for it. So we're going to be working our way through them. However, I massively underestimated how many people would be really, 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 really good to help us. So this is going to take a few sessions. So we're going to start with the people in the UK, because that's our biggest audience. But we will move on to other countries. And if you're from a country that we've called and I've missed it somehow, the things that I'm using to chase these names down can be a bit complicated. So do let us know and we will chase that up. So in no particular order, I would like to thank Wookiee in the Waistcoat, Orchard Martin, Labam, Aaron Tunney, W Blackstock, Mechaskull, Timebat, Fragmaster Slam, Raven 798, James Curtis, Sunlight Yellow Overdrive.
I'd like to thank Netizensis, Boo Boo for You, Kyle 3760, Snoo Snoo 89, Martini, Clayjono 005, Brumo Doom, Lebanon Queen, Tim Meredith, Spaddy, Sorbosky, Jack Ridley, and Blackiciferous.
As well as Linandi 2, Zoogles Ted, Zenithed, Chronomage, Spanopus, S. McQueen, Flimity Face, Ed the Croft, Flappy Bag, Jam Ham, Yitzhak 21, Ratfreck, and Dacre Watson.
And I will thank Kenotomio, Joey Freeney, Anborn Sky, The Boys, Ubi Adam, Bob the 15th, Lance with Dragons, Mikey Red, Miss Nash, and Tristerinus.
I'm going for Alijand, Barbara of Selkham, I Am a Tuber, Landau. I don't know, there's so many good ones, but that's the one we all crack up at. 8mm, Talion 66, Jack Swan, Al ZZZZE, and Raging Ron. Great names, all of you. Good name work
there. Genuinely, thank you guys. We wouldn't have gotten anywhere near where we have without you, and I cannot wait to make more excellent things for you guys specifically because you guys were there at the start. So thank you very much.
You,
we really appreciate it.
We're watching you. We appreciate you. We appreciate what you're doing right now.